This is a PlanetPhilip.com podcast.
Hello and welcome to another PlanetPhilip.com audio interview. Joining me today is Charles. Charles is the maker of Courage and Intrusion. Hello, Charles.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Philip?
Good. Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. So thank you for waking up so early on Saturday morning. I appreciate it. And thank you for making the time for the interview. But most importantly, thank you for making some great mods. So let's start by introduce yourself to the listeners for me.
All right. So I guess I'm sort of just a hobby modder. I currently in the United States, I'm studying to be a doctor, but you know, when I find a little time, I like to dabble around with Source and Hammer.
Okay. So do you actually, I mean, obviously you do, but training to be a doctor, I can't believe that you actually get that much time free.
Well, isn't, which one is it? Is it Gearbox or one of the big companies that makes Gears of War or something? They're head by doctors too, you know? So it's, okay. You know, it's, if you only do medical stuff, it's good to have something else, you know. So
absolutely,
find the time.
Modding is your way of switching off from you know, saving lives.
Well, I guess so. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. You've got two of the three greatest jobs in the world: a doctor, a modder, and you know the other one would be teacher, perhaps. But so, Intrusion. Intrusion was released in 2008. How long had you been modding before you released that?
Quite a while. At least, 2000, probably since 2002 or 2003 or so.
Okay. Had you released anything before that?
No. I actually released Intrusion because I was getting annoyed that I was not releasing anything from all the maps that I was making.
Okay, so typical mapper, you were making things but never quite happy with it or it never finished. And then one day you said, okay, I'm going to finish something.
Right. They all, you know, I feel like a lot of modders do this. We have these grand visions and then we make these big things and then they turn unwieldy, you know, and things start breaking all over the place and then we give up and start over and nothing ever gets released. Yeah.
So you've got a lot of maps on your hard drive somewhere, have you?
I do. Well, actually, I did, and then I had a big hard drive crash, so a lot of it's gone, but, you know, same idea.
What a shame. Mm-hmm. All right, so a decision, an epiphany, I must finish something, that led to Intrusion. And did you start afresh with something, or did you take what you had at the time and decide to polish it and finish it, or start afresh? Which of those two?
Probably the first. It was just sort of, I guess, one simple idea, and then I just ran with it for a short bit, tried to get it somewhat playable, and then released it. So that didn't start from something before.
All right, okay. And how long approximately did it take you to make Intrusion?
I guess a couple of weeks. That was actually a long time ago.
It just took you a couple of weeks.
I think so. I don't remember it taking that long, but it was, you know, sort of. I haven't. So it's interesting that you're asking about it because I haven't really looked at it in a very long time.
Yeah,
I suppose not. Yeah, sort of looking back at it, sort of, you know, it's pretty unrefined.
Sorry, I don't want to disagree with you or keep interrupting you or anything, but I live streamed myself playing, and it's one of my favorite mods ever.
Thanks.
It only took me 25 minutes to play.
Okay.
And it's very limited in its weapons and its enemies, which actually was the inspiration for my most recent mapping competition on my website, where people are only allowed to have two weapons and two enemies. So kind of you inspired this competition. And I just thought that you did such a fantastic job of making something short and sweet with, you know, there's a hint of a story there. Something's gone wrong in the research lab and I'm following somebody, but I don't really know who it was. And will I get to meet them and all of those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that, you know, you say it's not, you know, not really polished, but I mean, there might be areas that could be improved, but I think you did a fantastic job.
Thanks. You're welcome. I'm really flattered.
Not everybody agrees with me. I mean, right. My choices of favorite mods will be completely different. Most people would say that it's too short because most of the people who play, they want things that last for 2 or 3 hours.
Right.
But at the same time, I recognize that making a mod that lasts for 2 or 3 hours takes a huge amount of time. But only 2 weeks is quite a short time, really.
Yeah, you know, with my field of study, it's hard to really commit time for a super long project without it stretching for, I guess, 6 years, like this one, which also turned out to be really short, you know, so it's hard to make things longer. But I definitely understand a lot of the comments that people have left about that first mod.
About being short and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. And what sort of process did you go through in the sense that, did you know what you were looking to build before you started, or did you say, okay, it's going to be a little bit more organic and I'll just go along and when I get to a point, I'll stop?
Yeah, I don't, I guess with my process, I don't usually have a set plan. I would, there would be one, you know, one small idea and then it would start with one drawing and then from there it's sort of iterates all over the place, you know. But okay. That one, I guess that with Intrusion, that first idea was where I could build from that first idea and I didn't have to iterate too many times and I was able to get it done to a presentable state in a relatively short time. Usually it takes me forever to finish anything. And the first idea and how it turns out at the end is completely different, you know, three times over.
Okay. All right. I mean, many modders like to plan and, you know, have everything on paper and then they start to build and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Did the mod finish bigger than you expected or about the right size or even smaller than you expected?
I don't exactly remember. I think for Intrusion, it was about the right size.
All right, okay. I mean, I'm sorry because, I mean, really, we are talking about 6 years ago, so I do recognize it's, you know, it's difficult. Okay, then, so let's jump forward a little bit. We jump forward 6 years to Courage. Now, I didn't know that you'd made this. Now, perhaps you remember, we messaged each other on ModDB.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, a message, oh, wow, really loved your mod. Wonder if you're making anything else. Interested in an interview and kind of like, yeah, I'm working on something. And then nothing. I haven't heard from you in like 2 years or something. But when I opened up Courage, the first thing I said to myself was, this was made by the same guy that made Intrusion. And then I looked at the name and it was like the nickname that you use, which I won't repeat because you're a little embarrassed about it. And I said, okay, no, it's not the same guy. Well, that's really strange. But then once it finished, I realized, no, it was. So what happened between Intrusion and Courage that you didn't release anything?
Well, actually, I'm a little curious. When you opened it and you said you got the vibe that I made it, what was it? Yeah.
Well, I think it was to do with the lighting, and it was to do with the fact that we have this square room with concrete on the sides that's been. We have some facility that's clearly had some problem with it. Now, that's not a unique, you know, scenario in modding because Black Mesa and all of those kind of things. But there was just something about it, perhaps the proportions, the lighting, the feel of that central area with lots of square corridors, which often is very boring, but actually neither in Intrusion nor in Courage was that the case because it just felt real. It felt like some kind of research facility. So that was why. That proportion, lighting, and general setting. Were you conscious of that when you built it, or not until I said it?
No, actually, yeah, it was only after you contacted me this time around that I went back, I played Intrusion, and I looked through this new map, and yeah, it is kind of similar, you know, the lighting, the colors, the setting in a way.
Just that general feel, only the, you know, the initial setting, because I mean, right. there's a lot of things that are very different about it. I don't want listeners to think that if you've played one, you don't have to play the other, because they are completely different mods with a different objective and a way of achieving that.
Right.
And so actually, did you make, go ahead.
Yeah. And actually, to answer your earlier question, I started these two about the same time. The first idea for Courage started before Intrusion. But when I first started it, you know, that was one of those grand, crazy, overly ambitious ideas. And as I was working on that one, I said, oh, I can't, you know, this will never get released. So I released Intrusion, and then I kept working on it until now.
Okay, so it's older. So really what I should be saying is that Intrusion looks like Courage, not Courage looks like Intrusion.
Right, or maybe Intrusion's like a, I don't know, little side, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not
the,
sure.
The brother, the sister, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you've been working on Courage, obviously not, you know, constantly for 6 years, but
right.
you've been doing it between now and then, have you?
Right, yeah, I've been, you know, it's been the side hobby for this entire time, basically.
All right, okay. So let's talk about Courage. We're in this research facility, and we've got these machines, and we need to clear all of the zombies. And I suppose I should say this right at the beginning, but if you're listening, you've probably realized this already. This podcast will contain spoilers. So if you haven't played these mods, stop now and come back in a couple of hours. So in Courage, you need to kill all of the zombies before the machine will work. That took me a little bit of time to work out. It was play tested. Is that right?
Right. It was play tested by a whole bunch of my friends.
are any of those modders?
No, not really.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. No, that's not a criticism. It's just an observation. Mm-hmm. I run a project, or I used to, called Beta Testers Collective. And we try to make sure that we don't only get players and we don't only get modders to test things, because you kind of need both
right,
sides.
Right. And I did know about it, but then I forgot to use it. anyway.
All right. Promise me in 6 years' time, when you release your next mod, you will at least use them then, yes?
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a deal.
Okay. I don't know if I'm the only one who struggled to understand that particular mechanic. Did any of your testers have any trouble with that?
Right. So the sort of the inspiration from that comes from that, Half-Life 2, when you're, I guess more spoilers, in episode 2, when you're rescuing Alex, you know, she gets put in this chamber, and then you're getting all these rushes by antlions, and you have that same alarm sound. What I was kind of hoping for was that people who have played episode 2 already will associate that alarm sound and the lights, you know, with that kind of game state.
Okay.
And in a way, recognize that it's kind of an artificial construction, you know, that these alarms, these detectors, they're going to be on, and you have to sort of kill them all. And one of the things that I noticed with our playthroughs is that you can like kill most of them, but since there's one or two still around, you sort of have to run around over the place to find them. And I hope to fix it with, you know, entities within Hammer, but it turns out that's one of the many times I hit a limit of source and Hammer as it stands right now. So I couldn't, there was not much more I could do with it, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if there's one left, as there was in my case. I don't know what it was, just a regular zombie, I suppose. Maybe you were stuck in a corner. And I was like, why can't I get into this thing?
Right.
And then by the time I realize, I've got to run all the way back and I've got to find it. And I mean, it's not a big problem. I'm just, you know, just wanted to talk about it. And then you do get into the simulator, or do we have a different name for it? I can't remember. What do you call it? You call it the...
Yeah, it's, you know, the basic idea for it is that, you know, current research, there's virtual reality simulators for, you know, like soldiers with PTSD. So this, in the game, this machine was first developed as a treatment device, but then was turned into a military combat simulator. So it is a simulator. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you go in and then you wake up on the shores of a little lake and a house. And the idea here is this is a place for you to relax. Is that's what's going on in this case?
Right. The idea is that this place is a memory of the player. A memory that, from before whatever terrible thing happened, you know, in the world. And as the one of the scientists that hacked the simulator, you know, his goal is that, well, everything else is so bad out here, at least I can do this for whoever comes upon this machine.
All right. And then once you're in this virtual world, there's not exactly tasks, you know, but there are things that you could do, like help planting. Does that bring the player any benefit?
So I added these little things, sort of as a stark contrast, I guess, to the shooting out in the real world. And part of the idea of them, you know, I don't know if it really turned out for all the other players out there, but part of it is just, I guess, to show another way of playing that's enjoyable, or that's, you know, enjoyable, calming, and zen-like, again, to offer as a contrast to all those shooty bits.
Yeah.
First.
I mean, I didn't panic, but in the sense of, was I supposed to plant all of these little plants? Do I get a benefit? Will it make the time last longer? And then there was the guitar, and I think I played it once, and I really wasn't sure whether how long I was going to stay in the simulation, and whether there was an objective to move on to a different area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of course, that was solved quite quickly by the alarm bells going, which then brought me back to reality. So, okay, all right, quick, gotta get back in there. And then there was another wave. And I don't know if you saw my live playthrough, but I managed to not cheat as such, but basically what I did is I piled up all of the chairs into a huge barrier.
Okay.
Put all of the ammo behind the chairs. So I was protected, like, just in front of the simulator, so I could just stand up and shoot a few and then duck back down and then shoot a few more, and none of them would be able to come in and kill me. So even if the alarm went off, I could stay in the simulator in more or less, you know, confident that I wouldn't be attacked. I didn't do it that way, but I kind of did it like that. So how long did you take to know how long I was allowed to stay in the simulator?
I'm going to have to watch your playthrough. That's really cool that you did that, actually.
It's actually because I'm such a bad player rather than because I'm like a cool player.
Right.
I mean, you get about 2 minutes, don't you?
I think you get less than 2 minutes. But you're about right. I think it was about a little less than 2 minutes. When you're in the simulator, you know, you were never meant to have enough time in the simulator. And these little tasks that you do, there's no concrete benefit to them. Like, they don't give you health, they don't give you more time. You know, your friends, largely because of animation, things that I couldn't get into, you know, they don't do anything different. But what you do is it was just the intrinsic value of whatever zen-like task that you get from yourself. And the reason that I did the time that is never enough, you know, is because I guess sort of like in the story setting where it's this post-apocalypse, you know, you don't want to be out in the lab where there's all these zombies rushing at you. You would prefer to be in this earlier memory. And I'm trying to sort of show that partially with all the zombies rushing at you, the futility of trying to live well in this reality, plus being in this previous memory, which you can't stay in, if you know that there's, you can't just stay in there forever, that, or you know, without getting yourself killed, you can't have that choice, right?
No, you can enjoy it for a short period, but never as long as you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I love the way with the burgers, you managed to get the burgers to go brown. I don't know how. I mean, I'm not a mapper, so that, I mean, little details like that really impress me. Did you spend a lot of time doing that, or was it easy to do in Hammer? I don't know.
If you actually looked at it in Hammer, it's sort of a big convoluted mess, because every individual patty needs its own triggering system. But it uses the same system as a light switch. You know, they have those, there's a way where you can make a light switch appear as on and off, and it does sort of the same thing. It's a little trick. Yeah, but it is really messy. It's not right. Elegant.
No, but it's elegant from a player's point of view. You know, I mean, from a player's point of view, I put them on the barbecue. They go brown a little bit later. It's like, wow, that's really cool. And then suddenly it's like, oh, crap, I can't even enjoy them. Okay, so the second time you come out, you kill all the sets of zombies again, and is it a reducing number, an increasing number, or the same? I felt that it was less. Is it less?
In terms of the horde?
Yeah, the number of zombies.
It's the same. It's the exact same, yeah.
And it's, I mean, there's like four fast zombies, and there's like maybe six zombines, and then a bunch of other zombies. It just felt less the second time. Maybe I was getting better. And then you go back in then to the simulator, and you're fishing, which is kind of cool. I lost my pole in the pond, but that was quite funny. And again, you can explore and you can walk up the tree. The tree was done quite nicely. I thought that was a nice touch.
That's just a default Hammer tree. I'm not that talented.
Yeah. Okay. No, but I mean, just the touch of being able to climb the tree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just probably an invisible ladder. I recognize that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But again, from the player's perspective, you know, the technicalities don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, if it works, it works. And you can drive around in the airboat, but there's no hidden caches or any Easter eggs in there, is there?
Right. No, there isn't.
Oh, okay. Because you could have been a bit vague there. You could have been, well, maybe. Oh. And I would have had to play it again. That's okay. All right. And then you come out and what happens then? You kill the third wave. Or is that what I should have? I mean, I only played it a few weeks ago, but I've posted about 20 different maps in the last 20 days. So I've forgotten how it works. But I remember three waves. That's correct, yes?
Right. So I guess there'd be four waves.
Four waves.
But yeah, basically, yeah, you can enter the simulator three times. And then
if you
leave the simulator, there's one more wave. And
yes. Which is the nighttime when you're sitting around a fire, singing songs, eating the burgers that you've, or the fish that you've just caught, or something like this. Did you consider, I mean, when I started playing and I got to the third wave and I came out of the simulator, I said to myself, all right, here we go again. I'm really going to kick their asses this time. I assumed that it would be like almost never ending. I didn't think that there would be never-ending simulations that would be changed, but I just assumed that you could play for as long as you wanted. And you were right not to make that happen. But did you specifically say, okay, should we see how many's the right number, or I'm only doing three entries to the simulator?
So I guess I really like using the number three. So, you know, if you notice in the map and notice with things, there's the number three pops up a lot. So
three burgers.
Or, yeah, you know, like three people in simulator, three simulators, three waves, or, you know, three times in the simulator, all this stuff. So it's just sort of more of a app, you know, arbitrary number. It would have been three just because I like the number three so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And the beta testers for that, I mean, did you make many changes based on what they were suggesting, or did it turn out more or less how you sort of originally built it?
Right. So my testers were really helpful with the gameplay part, because, you know, we were having debates as to whether you can win this thing at the end. And when you're out in real world shooting things, you know, how much ammo you should have, what kind of weapons you should have, how many of them should rush you all at once. And what we noticed was that if you're playing on a computer and you've played episode two before and you sort of realize a trick with it, it's really, or I guess if you pile all the chairs up, it can be really well handled. But on an Xbox controller, this game all of a sudden becomes a lot harder just because the
Okay.
aiming assistance, you know, is not as great. So that's, but that was that plus, you know, just so the memory part, you know, like a lot of, I guess, other modders or any other media, it's based off of a reality. It's based off of a memory I have. So it's interesting for my player, my friends and testers to play, because they know that memory too, you know, and
Okay.
so they can give me feedback on things like add fishing, make the burgers turn brown, you know. That was really helpful too.
Okay. So, I mean, you have a memory of some situation similar to the simulation. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And you know, it's a camping trip. It's I
Okay.
think it's something hopefully a lot of people have also had all
All right.
also
Okay. It's
so
kind of
a
cool.
pretty generic memory, I should say.
Yeah, where I come from, very few people go camping, but perhaps, you know, in America, it's much more common. So,
Oh.
one of the things that's common about both of the mod is the limiting enemies and the weapons. And I think that that's a very clever decision. It's very easy to give people all of the weapons quite quickly, and there's a standard progression where as soon as you get a weapon, then you're more or less guaranteed that within the next 5 minutes you're going to need that weapon with one of these particular enemies, and introducing new enemies. But you kind of avoided that. We've got a very small area where the player actually plays, and it's pretty much the same for Intrusion as well. We don't really go very far, and you've got limited enemies. I mean, is that something that you kind of feel is like an overarching theme in your mods or the maps that you've made?
Yeah, I think I like to try to, you know, sort of with the one idea or one theme, I try to not have too many options and make it too confusing. Too many all different enemies coming, you know, coming rushing at you. It feels a little more elegant to have just one idea, one combat style, I suppose, and try to get that more refined than to deal with all these different variables with all the other different weapons.
Okay. No, I mean, I like it. I mean,
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy Courage as much as I enjoyed Intrusion because I'm not an arena fan. I don't
Right.
like that kind of gameplay style, and some people love it and other people don't. But that's not to say I didn't enjoy it. I
Well,
did.
I think
Yeah.
so the way you felt about it, I think, is partially my goal, you know, because I didn't, this is sort of approaching art mod territory.
It
And
is, you're right.
yeah, and when you're out in this lab, in this real world, the gameplay is meant to be unfair. It's meant to be unenjoyable. Well, hopefully, unless you're a really good gamer, then maybe it's really enjoyable, you know. But it's meant to feel unfair, meant to feel random, feel like it's not a fair fight. So in a way, yeah, what you sense from it, I think, is a little bit the intention.
Yeah, you're right. It's unfair, and you're not happy, you want to clear all of these zombies because you want to get back in the simulator because you want to escape from this reality. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you're rescued. Mm-hmm. We don't know, to where or to what, but, I mean, I'm happy that you didn't just fade to black in the sense that once the fourth wave of zombies were killed. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you gave me something. It's different from Intrusion because Intrusion, you kind of put me in the shit with at the end of Intrusion because you think that you've solved the problem, but you've only created a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So I like how you kind of got different endings. That's kind of a cool thing.
Right. So just quickly, so I like threes. You've mm-hmm. figured out there were three endings?
No, I didn't. In Intrusion or Courage?
In Courage.
No, I didn't know. I've only got one ending.
Okay.
How would I know there were three endings? What did I miss?
There's no hint for you. This is, just art mod territory stuff again. The first ending is just the default if you die trying to kill the zombies. So there's no special thing with that. The second one is the one that you reached.
Uh-huh.
The third one is that you can stay in the simulator. When you hear the alarms again, I'm not pushing you out of the simulator.
Okay.
And what happens is the zombie.
Don't tell me.
Okay. So there is, maybe, I don't know if this counts as your Easter egg plus another one. But yeah, there's other stuff.
So what you're saying is if you die in the simulator, something else happens.
Or if you stay in the simulator.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm playing it. Okay. So give me the other potential Easter egg then.
Well, it's hidden plain sight. It's something that if you saw it, you would, and know what it is, you would know it, I guess.
Okay, that's too vague for me. I give you permission to tell me. Listeners who don't want to listen, put your fingers in your ear now.
Okay,
go.
It's just a little graffiti that I left on the main wall. It references a cartoon that was also named Courage. That if somebody recognized it, they would maybe find it interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I've just finished playing Intrusion, and I liked how you had these messages on the wall, follow me, and use these, and all of those kind of things. And that's another aspect of your mods that I like, is that you don't just use the standard decals or whatever they're called, in the sense that you try and personalize some of the rooms with special names and all of those kind of things, so that that little touch is the thing that interests me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. Now, how long ago did you release Courage? 3 weeks?
Yeah, about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Imagine I have a time machine. I'm Doctor
okay.
Who. And I can take you back. I can take you back 3 months. What would you change about Courage?
Probably not much. Now that you told me about the chair thing, I would have to think about it. And I might try to mess with the alarm system a little bit more, but not much else, I think.
Excellent. That's a really good thing. When people say that, then it means that they're generally very, very happy with it. Other times I'll do these interviews and they'll be like, oh, Philip, I've got like a list. Oh, I'd do this differently and this differently. But if you're happy with that, that's mm-hmm. pretty cool. All right. Yeah. I mean, you could probably just simply stop somebody from moving the chairs. that would end any chance I had of blockading myself in. If you want to see that, you can just go to my website where it's listed, Courage. The video is embedded in the post there.
Okay. If you play again, don't block the chairs because you're going to break my game.
Okay. All right. So three is the big thing, and you've got Intrusion, you've got Courage. So you have to. I mean, you have to make another one. You don't have a choice. So tell me, Charles, that you've actually started already.
I haven't. Well, okay. I definitely have. I definitely have been working. Okay, so yes. Well, maybe. We'll see. We'll see. I promise you 6 years from now. That's the best I can do right now.
All right. I want to give you a challenge. Okay. I want your third mod to somehow join the stories between Intrusion and Courage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think you can do
that? We'll see.
Maybe. It might not be as hard as it seems because it's, I mean, both of them are set in these like research facilities. There mm-hmm. could be some connection between those two. There, you know, maybe, I don't know. All right. But honestly, in all seriousness, do you think you'll build more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. I would very much like to. I would hope that our second source engine comes out so it's not so buggy. I don't have to wrestle with it so much. But yeah, I'll keep dabbling with it. You know, I can't. It's hard having done this for so long to just stop. Keep going. Yeah.
Good. Good. And I mean, do you only make SP maps, or have you kind of released any, you know, death maps or other types of maps as for anything else? It's just these two, is it?
Right. It's just these two. And yeah, they're all single player. In terms of my interest with game development, it's a lot more with all the new different indie things that are coming out. More the Dear Esther type of games than the, you know, Gears of War type of
art
things.
Art mods is what we're calling them now. I used to call them art mods, but then Robert Yang, who is a maker of a series called Radiator, I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
His series. Mm-hmm. He and I had a podcast, and he convinced me to call them alt mods.
Okay.
because that's actually, it's probably better because they're just alternative. They don't have to be arty. Mm-hmm. They're more alternatives. So, you know, so that's kind of cool. So that brings us on to some screenshots that you sent me. Now, listeners will be able to see these screenshots in the post of the audio interview. And I wonder if you could sort of talk us through them. Do you have them visible? It's probably a good idea if you open them up. All right, okay. So I'm looking at number 1_1. So this is the one with sort of the, like the walkway and the elements sort of all on the edge and the crossbow. Tell me about that. What were you trying to build there?
Right. So I guess to clarify a little bit, in this batch of screenshots, the first set are all from, you know, the same map, more or less. And then the second set are in development shots of the current version of Courage. And then the third ones are the final ones. For people that like to dig in mod directories, if you looked at how I named all the materials, I named all the sounds and everything starts with the word pit. They don't start with the word courage. That's because that first set was the grand overarching crazy mod that I was trying to build before it became unwieldy and I had to stop and restart. And when I restarted with the same theme, with basically the same idea, that's, you know, that became Courage. So that first seven pictures, that's the pre-alpha, I guess.
Of Courage?
Yes. So the same map, but completely different.
I've played maps like this before where you sort of, you're in the middle of nothing and you walk along this walkway and you interact. And I mean, okay. I mean, so at some point you were thinking of having a crossbow in the game then?
Right. So looking at that first map, you see a lot of frames and a lot of white arrows. And this was the one of the beginnings that I was playing with, a storyboarding. There you go.
Okay.
That you're walking through a storyboard. An abstraction of, you know, I feel like for game developers, it's always kind of, unless you have a lot of budget resources, introducing the setting is really difficult without it being just boring, big, long text. So this was one of the ways that I was playing with it.
Okay. All right. It's kind of cool. And then number two is like a city square.
Right. So when you walk out of that first introduction, you walk into a city stopped by time. That's frozen in time. So this screenshot, nothing's actually moving. You know, you can walk around it all, and there's this big battle going on between your friends and the aliens, I guess. It's sort of a final standoff.
Okay. And this would be when you go into the simulator, or no, when you got outside of the labs?
Right. So in the, you know, the between this project, well, the Pit project, I guess, and then Courage, the big overarching theme that they share is this reality and then this alternate reality and in the, or okay. the memory or, you know, whatever it is. And in this first version, it's a machine that brings you there. But if you'll see in the later shots, it's instead of a machine, it's a giant alien that does it.
Okay.
So,
all right.
And part of the reason I restarted was in the beginning, I made this frozen map partially as a gameplay thing, partially because of all these reasons. And it became very confusing as to why this part's frozen, but then later it's not frozen and all this craziness.
All right.
So, okay. No definitive answer here. I don't know if this is a memory or reality. I don't know.
Okay. All right. And then the third one is like out in the countryside, like a train yard or some kind of industrial setting.
Right. Right. The basic idea is that your last pocket of resistance and the Combine are sort of ruling over you with an iron fist. And what has happened is that something crash landed into this valley next to your city. So in this in this shot, if you look in the top right, you can sort of see the peaking little buildings on the top right. That's the same town as the second shot.
Okay.
Then looking sort of bottom left, you sort of see this little valley. And then if you sort of track the valley behind this big long building and toward the end, there's a big hole there. That's why the mod was codenamed Pit. That's sort of your area of interest, and you have to battle through this whole mess of an industrial complex to get there.
Okay. All right. And then number four is like some kind of explosion or something. This is in the pit with the alien, or?
Right. So this is when you reach the pit, and this big spidery thing comes out and kind of drags you in. So, you know, you can sort of imagine, you know, the machine that I have now also tends to have little arms reaching out. So this is kind of the same subconsciously. I didn't design it that way, but it turned out that way.
Okay. All right. And then number five is like a monochrome of some platforms that seem to be floating in some sort of gravity or no gravity. What was that?
So this is the big spider thing four is an alien ship, but an alien ship that doesn't conform to reality in a way. So number five is actually the inside of the ship.
Okay.
And once you fall into the pit, the game becomes very, very confusing because it's sort of like, did you see the new Cloud Atlas?
The film.
Yes.
No. Yes. Okay.
Last year, switching and how the film keeps switching between different times and places. Once you fall into the pit, you sort of switch between another set of reality where you're in a Combine lab, and then all these memories, you know, and then the alien vessel, and you know, you sort of, the game presents all this to you, and then how you want to act upon it was sort of the point.
Okay, all right. Then number six is this tree that's glowing with lots of wood seemingly spinning and huge cubes. Is this in the spaceship still?
No, not really. So I guess to help, number six and number seven, if you look at it, both of them have big floating cubes. Both of them have the same house, and they're abstractions of of I don't know what they are. Frankly,
there's okay.
a big reason why I restarted, because I like to make all these very, I guess, alt moddy things, but in the end became too confusing.
All right. Okay. If explaining the screenshots is confusing, then I cannot imagine how it would be to play the right. actual mod. But okay, then. So moving on to number 7. Now, this looks more like what we ended up with. 2.1, not number 7. Okay. This is Alpha from the eventual Courage rather than from Pit, yes?
Right. This is the very first. This is version 1. Not even, okay. You know, this is the first. So I periodically save, because Hammer likes to corrupt my save files, my map files. And this is 1. This is number 1.
Okay. All right. And that's much more recognizable to what we ended up with. And then 2.2 seems to be kind of like halfway between what we've just seen and mm-hmm. the final version, kind mm-hmm. of like this, you know, building, you know, that's in the middle of the city that's been destroyed. Okay, anything to tell me there, or is that's just exactly as it is? It was just like halfway between the two.
Yeah, and I just thought it was funny that, you know, looking back on it, it looks a lot like the map, the walls and maps from Intrusion, doesn't it?
Mm. Just
with the bricks and the colors and everything.
The orange, and like the roof. And
yeah, did not occur to me at all, but yeah, that's all.
Right, okay. And then number 2.3 is, you know, in the simulator.
Right. Nothing too big to point out. I definitely changed the grass, because this dirt white business was not working out. And that white door was something that, you know, in the full game, the white door is inside the house.
Yeah, kind of like off the kitchen.
In this,
okay, but
when I first did it,
in the early one, it was like outside.
Right. It's, yeah, in this picture, you can see it at the end of the docks. And it was hard to really explain the deal with the white door. And it turned out the docks was not the best place for it, because it made it, it made your memory seem even more unrealistic with this big white floating door out in the middle. But that was an early placement that I played with.
A constant reminder that you're not there, you're not real. I mean, we know it's not real, but you don't want to be constantly reminded. Putting it in the house was a much better idea.
Yeah.
And then 2.4, back into the lab, looking almost portal-like with these sheets that could move. Anything to tell me about that one?
Yeah, so this is just... I was playing around with how the lab should look, sort of the style of it. And one of the things that I played with was, very, very, this is very pre, not refined, is a hospital setting. This was back before I turned the hospital into a, you know, converted into a military installation. So this, all this wood paneling and silly lookingness is inspired by how our hospitals currently look.
So every time you walk into work, you think, please let this be a simulator. Mm-hmm. Please let this be a simulator. All right, okay. And then 2.4, we're on to 3.1, which is the final version.
Right.
Yes?
Yeah.
All right, now we've got this Danger Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the Easter egg, is it?
No.
No. Okay. Now, for readers... or listeners, sorry, I'm presuming that this is from Lost in Space, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, are you a big fan of Lost in Space?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Okay.
Right. Uh-oh.
Shank you. No, not at all. I just grew up watching the original series. That was kind of, danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah.
So it was kind of stuck in my mind. Okay, all right. And then 3.2. is what we have mm-hmm. Courage, Courage Combat Simulator. So this is where we are, and this is very reminiscent of Intrusion, in mm-hmm. the sense that, you know, you've got these walls, but you've still got things on the side, and you've got this 150 kills in 15 minutes. You get like a steak dinner. So, I mean, you're suggesting here that, that the soldiers were trained and then rewarded outside of the simulator, yes?
Right. They're, you know, this is a military training facility, so their performance within the simulator gets them rewards. They're incentivized.
Okay. All right. And then there are other posters along the wall that kind of follow that theme through as well. All right.
Right. Okay. A, you know, almost a meta reversal commentary on shooting things, I suppose.
Yes. Okay. Perhaps we won't go to that. All right. And then 3.3 is the, you know, the simulation area, which is like the fully finished area. Was this, now that I look at this screenshot, this tree looks awfully similar to the one earlier in 1.6. Is it the same tree?
Yeah, it's the same tree.
Okay. It's a standard tree from Half-Life, is it? It's
yeah.
Nothing special.
Okay. Yeah, it is my favorite tree, though. It looks like a giant oak tree, so.
Okay. And then the last picture, which is 3.4, is the nighttime setting. And I mean, we're not in the video, if you actually get that far. I'm like looking up at the like the Milky Way and I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then I'm like, no, not the image of it, but the reality of it. And I'm kind of like, I feel a bit stupid saying that. But it's such an impressive view. I kind of enjoyed sitting around the fire there. And
that's good. When I first took this picture and later when I was talking to my friends about it, and be the medical dorkiness I am, I suppose, this tree, you know, I don't know if Valve did this on purpose, but from this angle, it is very similar to the blood vessels of someone's brain.
Okay.
And especially from this view. So, I don't know.
Maybe it's why it's your favorite tree.
Yeah. There you go.
Could be. I mean, Valve are very clever. They do have lots of things that they never talk about, but they've done for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. So, out of the two mods, Courage and Intrusion, which are you most happy with?
I'd say the new one.
Okay, but you spent more time on it.
Yes.
So, I mean, that wouldn't be an unfair thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So that's it, really. I mean, I would like to thank you for making those mods. They were both very, very enjoyable. I have to go back and look for this Easter egg now in Courage and see what happens if I'm in the simulator. Please, please, please don't give up making. I mean, I'm sure that once you're fully qualified, the demands on your time will be just as great as they are now, but they'll be in different ways. But I would hate to think that somebody like you doesn't continue, because in a way you're an enigma for me, because unlike many other mappers who release lots of little things and are involved in the community, you sort of seem to be this person who sort of pops by, you know, comes to a bar, for example, and say, hey everybody, look, here's a mod, and then you disappear. And then kind of come back 6 years later, hey, everybody, here's another mod. And most modders are kind of like so involved, but you kind of seem, you know, like just out of it. I mean, are you involved in communities, like mapping communities under a different name or not?
No. I just sort of chug away on my own, you know, sort of, just sort of chug away on my own until I got something to share, something interesting to share, and then I posted. There's just a 6-year gap between interesting things to share, I guess. Yeah.
What do you do if you hit like a technical problem? I mean, are you like straight to the Valve resource, or do you hit up some like interlopers or something else?
Yep, all of those. Straight to Mr. Google, and a bit of, you know, a bit of tweaking on my own, trying to get the engine to work. Yeah,
that's the best way, because you learn so much that way.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I would like to thank you very much for taking the time today. Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody for playing. You know, I'm glad that some of you were able to enjoy the things I make.
Yes. So keep doing that, and we will have another chat in 6 years' time, talking about your third mod, I suppose.
All right. Sounds great.
Fingers crossed. All right. So thanks very much. Goodbye.
All right. Bye.
Remember, finishing Half-Life is just the beginning.